It's the Rule of Threes podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's still July 24th, 2018.
Whoa!
We are pulling the curtain back. Pulling it all the way back.
The curtain has been pulled back. We are sitting here because we're, we are coming off some travel.
Yeah.
And we're heading out.
We have more to talk about. We gave you Casey's entire Summer League report.
Summer League, baby.
But we're done with that now. Now we're talking the grown men.
The big boy stuff.
And their life decisions.
A lot of stuff happened since we talked in
We had a little lull where nothing was happening.
Yeah.
Nothing fun was happening.
Yeah.
And I was a little worried that, when you're like mid-season and you're like, LeBron's got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, where's he going to go? I know inevitably there's going to be a decision, but it feels like it's never going to happen just because it's taking so long.
Yeah.
Similarly, other issues are never going to resolve, and then they suddenly do. For example, where is Jerebko going?
Yeah,
that's what I was top of my mind.
It's hard because you're like, where could he possibly end up?
Where is Jerebko going? What is Jerebko's first name?
Yeah, it's Jonas.
Jonas Jerebko.
Yeah, the Jonas Jerebko brother.
Yeah, he went to the Warriors.
Yeah,
and so then everything's resolved, and we had a good summer.
Yeah,
pretty much.
So we got to talk about the biggest transaction that went down.
What is the biggest one to you?
The Kawhi Leonard for DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl and first round protected up to number 20 draft pick.
And Danny Green.
I did forget Danny Green.
Now, so again, I was like, oh, nothing's ever going to happen with him. Spurs might just sit, like let him fester until the trade deadline or whatever. Yeah. They might ask the Lakers to give them half their team.
Yeah.
But sort of what people were saying was that no one thought the Spurs were going to trade Kawhi to a Western Conference team.
Yeah.
Which they didn't. They traded him to the Raptors. I was pretty excited about this trade. I think it's fascinating.
It is absolutely fascinating. But it's also heartbreaking.
For who?
For DeMar.
Oh, I don't give a shit.
I know you don't, but like I was talking with Naomi about it, and just I'm so sad for DeMar because I think he's somebody who really cared about being in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is not everybody. So like you kind of do want to hang on to the players that are like that.
Yeah. Oh man.
But I appreciate the clear-eyed Masai just being like, cool, you love being here. We can get a better player than you.
Yeah. I mean, and like, you know, health notwithstanding, they absolutely did.
Yeah.
Kawhi is better than DeMar DeRozan in every capacity.
Yeah. I think it's a great trade for Toronto.
Yeah.
If they get, I think they're probably going to get just 100% Kawhi out of this.
Okay.
Because he's had a full year or something.
Basically, like he played 6 games last year.
He played 9 games. Yeah. He's had a long time to rehab. And I have read just through Twitter and stuff that the Raptors are taking his medical rehabilitation very seriously and very privately.
Okay.
And that they're being very careful not to like let information leak out and basically things that Kawhi was getting pissed about in San Antonio.
Got it.
So if, assuming they get a 90% Kawhi,
yeah,
it's an incredible trade.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you know, they get just the ability to have a team that they put out there that's like, okay, these guys are serious. They're serious about competing this year. They really want to make it happen.
If Kawhi is like at near 100%, like even halfway through the season, it will be interesting because you should, like, you can apply some of the same things that people have said about LeBron, which is like he should take the team to the finals.
Yeah.
Considering that it's the East.
It's the East. I mean, you know, we still have yet to see what full strength Boston looks like.
Yeah.
Which is the hallmark of Boston for the last 15 years.
Yeah. Ever since Bill Walton's back or whatever. Larry Bird sitting on the side with a towel on his head or whatever.
So
Paul Pierce in a wheelchair.
You know, I think that team's going to be really, really good.
Yeah.
It's just like, do you have the ability to compete with that Toronto team? Because they're incredibly formidable now.
And they're like 1 through 10.
Yeah.
Like they're deep. Yeah. They're young.
Yeah.
It depends on Nick Nurse.
Yeah.
Great name.
What a great name.
But like, just
Nick Nurse.
Hello, Nurse. If you get the best player in the trade, you know,
you win.
That, and that's assuming he turns out to be the best player based on health. But Danny Green's a good add too.
Danny Green has fallen off a cliff.
Yeah, I know.
So I do not think Danny Green is a good add.
I think he will perk up with some poutine in him.
Because nothing perks you up like a little bit of starch and cheese.
A little bit of carbs, fat, and gravy. Gravy is basically a combination of carbs and fat.
Yeah. Poutine, don't get me wrong, absolutely delicious. I might go to Smokes today for lunch.
Where's Smokes?
Smokes is on Cahuenga and like just north of Sunset.
Yes, I've seen that place. Cahuenga, I didn't know Cole, they had poutine there.
They are a poutinerie. Ooh. That is all they do.
I say that it was a great trade because I don't think that as volume a scorer as DeRozan was, I don't think they're losing actually that much.
Yeah.
I'm saying they didn't really give up that much to get Kawhi.
Okay.
The draft pick is very low.
Yes.
I believe the highest it can be is like 21 or
21.
Something.
Yes. That's correct.
So that's not much.
No.
And Poeltl, I haven't really watched.
Poeltl's good.
Yeah.
He's a good young center. He will like, and that comes with its ceiling because centers are dead in the NBA.
God, I mean, centers cannot even make any money anymore.
Yeah.
It seems like.
So it's like, he's good and Pop will use him, but right. Like, I would say he's definitely better than Danny Green.
Centers are not able to make money right now and they're barely able to stay on the court.
Yeah.
Because not to get ahead of ourselves, but Capella is probably where would you put him in centers in the league?
I would put him at the fifth best center in the league.
And like, he's having trouble getting any kind of contract right now.
And you know, there's the restricted stuff that falls into that.
Who the four you have ahead of him?
Drummond, definitely
Cousins,
Porzingis,
uh-huh.
Davis, and Cousins.
Zaza,
yes, of course.
So
the Twin Towers in Detroit, Zaza and Drummond.
You know, similarly, I think DeMar, this is a good chance for him getting coached by Pop.
Yeah,
because he's athletic.
Yeah,
And he's, you know, people see him as like Kobe's spiritual successor because his footwork is like the best in the game.
Okay,
but he's kind of a slouch on defense.
Yes,
and no real reason to be.
No.
And I don't think Pop's going to sit for that.
No. So their starting five in San Antonio is Murray, DeRozan, Gay, Aldridge, Poeltl.
That's not bad. Gay's not great.
I mean, they're at best the eighth best team in the West.
Right? Yeah. You always get a little bump just because it's Pop.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that's with the bump, right?
Oh, that's with the bump. But, you know, it's an opportunity for DeRozan to sort of remake his career. By the way, the Raptors also got younger.
Yeah.
Because Kawhi's younger than DeRozan.
That's amazing.
Which is crazy. So, yeah. And plus, like, I just feel like he's going to... The schedule is going to be so much easier. Like, he's going to feast.
Yeah. Did you see the Spurs brass? By brass, I mean old guns closing ranks. Did you see David Robinson being like,
"Yes,
Kawhi never,
stupid.
Kawhi never talked to me." He's like,
"I know." It's like they're almost like they're almost like a college team.
Yeah,
the way they do that,
it's weird.
Meanwhile, they lost Tony Parker.
You know, it feels to me like he went to Charlotte because Borrego went there. And it's like, all right, okay, so he's kind of like doing Borrego a solid, going to be a veteran mm-hmm. voice in the locker room there to be like, all right, trust this guy. This guy knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm.
Tony Parker's going to be like, trust me, there's this French comedian who loves Nazis that I'll take a selfie with.
So good.
He's so good.
Tony Parker looks rough in those Charlotte colors. They put the press release out. And like, you know, I feel like I like gray beards. Tony Parker's gray beard is rough as hell.
Oh.
It's rough. He's never worn a color.
A color, yeah.
In the NBA.
Wait, were there no Spurs colors that had the...
Like maybe the military camo colors?
No, wait. What's the part of the Spurs logo that's like pink and yellow, though?
No.
just to like, you are factually there's wrong.
Maybe an older retro Spurs logo that has like some neon stuff to it.
I feel like the third color on the Spurs palette is pink.
No, it's white, silver, and black.
Right. That all makes sense. I don't know why I think this. I just feel like I have seen pink and yellow in like additional logo colors.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you're right. That I don't know what team I'm thinking of that has this. Oh, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, you're thinking of the retro one.
That's the retro one.
But yes. They never like wore that on a jersey.
Right.
And I pulled up a picture of the San Antonio Spurs with the paint behind it. It's the orange, the pink, and the teal are the three colors that San Antonio used to have behind their logo. But it Which was only like ever the, an alternate.
The three coolest colors in the 1980s.
Yes, definitely. But that was way before the Fiesta colors. That's what it's called. Spurs Fiesta colors.
I am pulling up a picture of
stuff like that.
Yes. A picture of Tony Parker in his Charlotte Hornets jersey. And you're correct.
It looks rough, right? It looks
very old.
It's so tough.
And I think you're right. There's something about the blending of the beard into the black, white, gray that helped.
Yeah.
Also makes you think you're looking at an old black and white game.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And now it's like we're in color.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a fly in the room. The rest of this episode has to be us killing this fly.
Killing a fly.
So what else do we have to say about Kawhi? I mean, the whole Kawhi thing from start to finish is so strange.
So bizarre. His uncle seems like the Machiavellian LeVar Ball.
I guess. I mean, so yes, that seems to be true, I guess. But like, it's very weird because we don't have any primary sources on any of this stuff. It's all just what we're being told by other people. So I don't know. I would assume that everything you're hearing about the Kawhi situation is being manipulated.
Yeah.
One way or the other. So that it's really not. People like us who don't have the ability to go at Summer League and schmooze up to RC Buford or whatever. Mm. Like I don't know what I feel like. I just got to wait for the Kawhi Leonard book or something.
Yeah.
I would love to just hear from him directly.
Yeah. That's never going
to
happen.
Yeah. That would never happen. It's funny to, watch, you know, I think I mentioned a couple episodes ago about how Reddit NBA was going to gradually like turn against LeBron, which I do think is happening.
Okay.
And I think they are turning on Kawhi too.
Oh.
And what's interesting is it's for the same qualities that they liked him before, which was like, he's a robot.
Yeah.
He has no emotions.
Yeah.
He doesn't play these media games. He's not doing it for attention. And like, he clearly still isn't. He doesn't care what you think. He's not on social media.
Yeah.
And now it's offending Reddit NBA. And now, like, there's literally posts about, like, he seems like a bad person.
Whoa, Jesus. Okay, so we have yet to talk about what's most important to us in this Kawhi situation.
Uh-huh. Which is 2019. Yep.
Based on random speculation, what does this mean for Kawhi to the Lakers?
It just depends on if Masai can convince him to stay.
Okay.
Right? The people talk about the Paul George situation as being an analog where he, and I think that's, yeah, whatever. Like I feel, we talked about Paul George and how lame we think he is. but I don't know that that's instructive necessarily.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he just does a year, but it's hard though. If they make the finals, it's hard to leave that team, I'd say.
What if they make the finals and lose to the Lakers?
Ooh, I don't. I think this is.
I'm sorry. When I say that, I mean like, what if the world explodes? I mean like,
I think this is. I think for the Lakers this year, this is a like get to know you year, and like let's make the playoffs and make a run.
Yeah,
we're not really pushing for the championship.
No,
this year.
No, of course not.
So,
but like, what if LeBron does? Because I mean, he carried the Cavs to the finals.
He carried the Cavs to lose to the team he's also going to lose to this year. It's just going to be one round earlier.
But what if like Steph breaks his arm? I don't know. You know, who knows?
Well, then he loses to a last minute shot by Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo
in game 9.
I do want to say one thing about the Kawhi situation before we move on. I don't think that Kawhi should be the Lakers' number one target in 2019.
Ooh. Who?
I think the Lakers' number one target in 2019 should be Klay Thompson.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the reason that I think that is because no player closes the gap between Golden State and the Lakers more than Klay Thompson.
Right, right, right.
Because he both makes
them
worse and the Lakers better.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, to me, that is the thing that should happen. They should go after him.
I can see that.
And like, this is not about what Klay's going to do at all. It's just what the Lakers' strategy should be.
Well, we get Michael working on it.
You know, I mean, you get him saying, hey, this LeBron guy, he's pretty good. I don't know if you've ever played against him before, but he's pretty good.
Yeah. I love Michael Thompson. I always liked him on the Lakers.
Yeah.
It does remind me every once in a while that, like, the Warriors, who did build their team from scratch and all that stuff, but they also have, like, the sons of, like, the privileged sons of NBA as their, like, two starting guards.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, their two guards did not come from a hard Scrabble life.
No, no.
Of course, neither did Kobe.
Yeah.
So, in other words, Klay, perfect fit for LA.
Perfect fit. So, yeah, I guess we got to get into Carmelo.
Yeah. By the way, so the Lakers, because they have signed a bunch of 1-year deals,
yes,
will still have cap space to sign
a ton.
Do they have room for two or just one?
Just one.
Okay. So, I'm sure no matter what you say, Kawhi will be above their Klay on their list. But,
yes.
But that makes sense.
Yeah.
I have a feeling didn't Klay already say he would take a discount to stay?
Yes. I don't think Klay's going to come.
I think it's going to be hard to pry away.
Yeah. But just from a team building standpoint, Magic, if you're listening to me, that's your number one.
Mm-hmm. So now we got to talk about the second best player in the league, which is Carmelo.
Carmelo Anthony, draining buckets.
Draining 30% of buckets.
Taking shots at Rihanna.
Carmelo was traded to the Hawks.
He's traded to the Hawks.
Instantly waived.
Excited to see him play in Atlanta this year. It's going to be a blast.
The Hawks traded back Schroeder.
Schroeder.
They just traded back, like, help us get rid of this shit, is what they said.
Basically. Well, yeah. Schroeder is somebody they did not want on their team anymore. They hated Dennis Schroeder, which is so funny because they forced out Jeff Teague so that Schroeder could be the guy. And then when Schroeder was the guy, they were like, oh my God, no.
Yeah. By the way, didn't we also hate Jeff Teague?
Yeah. Everybody hated Jeff Teague.
I was trying to remember because I can't remember who I hated more, Jeff Teague or Eric Gordon.
Okay. It was probably Teague.
Wait, is Eric Gordon. Bledsoe.
Oh, it was Bledsoe. You hated Bledsoe more than Teague, but you did hate Teague.
Yeah.
God, Bledsoe. Fucking
So they just basically were like, get this person off my team.
Yeah.
We will take Carmelo and instantly waive him.
Yeah.
So now Carmelo's available to sign with...
Carmelo has signed.
Oh, he did?
Houston Rockets.
It
happened today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good Lord. If I was a Rockets fan... I would not be happy about this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why? He's a Hall of Famer. He's the best Olympic teammate of all time.
He can wear a hoodie and be great at pickup basketball games at 24-hour fitness.
Lala can hang out at the clubs in Houston.
That's right.
Because they're still together, which is wild.
They're still together?
Yeah, they didn't.
She didn't leave him for Kevin Garnett?
No, she ended up staying.
Oh. I think that... Okay, what's the window for the Rockets for Daryl Morey to be the GM? Like, how much longer can his experiments pan out?
Daryl Morey will be the GM as long as James Harden's on the team.
Ah, okay. Because I think...
So, 10 years?
I like Daryl Morey. I admire a lot of his philosophy. I subscribe to a lot of analytics-focused philosophy.
Yeah.
But like,
you like ping pong.
I like ping pong. I actually think Daryl Morey is kind of cute, but
there you go.
You know, Moneyball didn't win the Oakland Athletics any World Series.
No.
And then everybody caught up to the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
So we still have not seen a championship come, and we haven't really seen, like, this year was their first serious, like, push.
Yeah. And they only won in the 90s because Michael Jordan played baseball.
Right. And Daryl Morey was not on the team at the time.
No, but, you know, he was alive, so.
Yeah. But they had the greatest center in the game, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Hakeem. Ah. Cassell.
Hakeem Olajuwon, who shit all over David Robinson in the playoffs whenever he felt like it.
Because I tell you what, Hakeem is not saying anything weird about players in the NBA right now because he knows, he's a classy dude, and David Robinson is kind of a shit heel.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was the 1 year when David Robinson won MVP.
Yeah.
That, Hakeem destroyed him.
In the playoffs, he's just like, I'm so mad at you.
But anyway, Daryl Morey was the one selling, we're going to make Dwight Howard work with this team.
Okay.
He has had other times where he's, been like, this is going to work. We've done the numbers.
Yeah.
We feel like we're mining an underdeveloped resource that's really going to fit with our team.
Yeah.
And when they signed Howard, first of all, I was glad that he was not with the Lakers anymore.
Yes.
And so, but I sort of gave Morey a little bit of all right, I'll give you the benefit of a doubt. And that did not work out.
No.
So we have a potentially cancerous teammate coming to the team now.
Yeah.
A teammate who until this year has not shown that he would move to the bench gracefully.
Yeah.
However, I'll make one point in Daryl Morey's favor, which is that I didn't necessarily think the Harden-Paul thing was going to work that great either.
Yeah.
And it seems to have.
It seems to work
even though well. It did also produce some of the most unwatchable basketball of the modern era.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you want to just say winning is winning and then go, oh, this is so
tough.
Well,
that's also, I mean, we talked about it before, but that's how can anyone hate the Warriors winning when they're
it looks crushed, so good.
Like they beat the Rockets and they crushed the Cavs. Two teams playing some of the worst looking basketball you have ever seen.
Yeah.
So now I don't see Carmelo helping that issue.
No. 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 No.
So they're very ISO focused offense. Carmelo is an ISO player. D'Antoni is an offensive genius.
Okay.
So he probably will find a way to optimize for Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah. Who's the starting lineup for the...
Starting lineup is Chris Paul.
Chris Paul. James Harden.
James Harden as sort of co-point guards.
Yeah. Clint Capella.
They will resign. He will resign for the restricted or qualifying.
Yeah.
And be pissed the entire year. Carmelo Anthony. Are you... Carmelo Anthony's going to hit up... No. We don't know.
I mean, because who...
Ego-wise, he has to start.
Right?
He has to start and be pulled at, 5 minutes and then played the whole second quarter.
Okay. Because I'm just I'm thinking because they have Eric Gordon. They lost Ariza. Oh, PJ Tucker. Sorry. PJ Tucker and then Carmelo.
So that's your five.
It's your five. Chris Paul, Harden, PJ Tucker, Carmelo, Clint Capella.
Two huge defensive liabilities. Harden and your Carmelo position with three kind of hard scrabble players.
Yeah.
So
you got Eric Gordon coming off the bench. You got James Ennis coming off the bench. Who's their new guy this year? You got D'Anthony Melton, who's going to be the backup.
Did they lose Gerald Green too?
They did not lose Gerald Green. Gerald Green is back.
So he'll be in the second
unit. He'll be in the second unit.
Just flashback to the playoffs when I was like, this player's pretty good. Who is this? And it's like, Gerald Green.
Maybe Ryan Anderson will come back alive after a long summer of working hard and recovering from his injuries.
Recovering from trying to defend Steph.
Yeah. Chinwenu Onwuaku.
Joey Cheese.
Joey Cheese.
We'll get some playing time this year.
That's right. Who is Joey Cheese?
That Joey Cheese is Joe Chi, the Chinese player.
Oh, yes. Okay. I was like, all right. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Joey Cheese is Joey the Cheese. Rockets NBA or RN, their subreddit.
He's nickname the guy. For him, Joey That's Cheese. Amazing. I love it.
By the way, I don't know why there's so many helicopters around right now.
I don't know either.
But hopefully it's not bleeding in on audio too much. So the quick. Not thinking about it too much version is Carmelo comes in and ISOs when Harden and Paul want to sit on the bench.
Yeah.
I don't know what he does when he's on the court with them. He doesn't provide a lot of other basketball contributions.
No. He can rebound. He's a good rebounder.
He can rebound. I'm sure that he can pass the ball when he needs to.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a history of creating plays for others, really.
He also doesn't have a history of, like, getting along with Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah, that's a weird thing, too. D'Antoni saying, like, he's over it. And I can see D'Antoni doing that. When D'Antoni was with the Lakers, I remember things coming out that I would read and stuff that were like, God, he's not good at talking directly to players.
Yeah.
He just sort of feels like you should be able to get it or you can deal with an assistant.
Yeah.
So I just feel like what I've read about D'Antoni's communication style is that it lends itself to dysfunction.
Yeah. But I think a big thing is that he's not going to have that big roadblock to communication that he had in New York. No mustache.
That's right.
He's not going to have to get that get all that communication through the mustache. It just goes straight out the mouth.
Okay, now I don't remember his name, but he did hire like a great defensive coordinator at the Rockets.
Don't know.
But that was like this year's narrative, which like D'Antoni realizes he's not good at defense.
Got it.
He hires a great defensive coordinator. Or you know, they don't call it that in the NBA, but that's essentially what he was. He hires a Thibs, basically.
Got it.
So what does that guy do with Carmelo?
I mean, you try to teach him stuff. You just put stuff in his head and you see if he can do it. I mean, it's tough because you think like he should be able to do some stuff, but he's lost foot speed and he's lost motivation, and maybe he'll get that motivation back.
Maybe he will. Maybe Chris Paul won't let him not have motivation.
That's true.
Maybe Chris Paul will like also grind everybody's egos into the ground, which he does at every place that he's at.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, really, I think PJ Tucker is going to be a good influence on him. I cannot express to you how much I like PJ Tucker.
I like PJ Tucker too.
Like he is.
And I think Capella.
I think that if anything, Carmelo's going to like have to fucking do it because he's on a minimum deal and they can just get rid of him if he's a fucking awful shithead.
What's crazy is he's not even clearly an upgrade from Ariza.
Oh, he is definitely not. I mean, maybe he won't miss 10 threes in a row.
But he could. Don't count Carmelo out on
That's true.
And also, I mean, he's a better deal in the sense that they're getting from for minimum as opposed to 15 or whatever.
We cannot forget to in August when you get back, do our 3-point challenge.
Oh, for sure. That by the way, that's why I bought that Jeremy Lin jersey.
Yes.
And is now immediately out of date.
Yeah. I mean, hey, do you want to wear a different Jeremy Lin out of date jersey? Because I have a
but I'm not wearing a Jeremy Lin Atlanta Hawks jersey.
Okay. All right. Because I got a Houston one and a New York one. So I love that between the three of us, we are between the two of us, because there are only two of us.
We are both overweight, maybe that's what you're affecting.
Hey, I mean, no, we have three. No, we have three jerseys. I just mixed my numbers up.
You're fat, Casey. Okay, wait. Is Gershon Yabusele, was he a draft pick?
A couple of years ago.
Is he on the roster?
Yes.
Like, is there an NBA jersey that says Yabusele? Yes. Maybe I'll wear that.
Yeah.
I'll wear a Celtics jersey, maybe.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
That hurts Casey more than me saying he's fat.
No. It's just a betrayal of your own character?
Yeah, but that ass, as they say.
Okay, all right.
I'm happy for this Carmelo thing because it's going to make it interesting.
Yeah.
And it also, the possibility of there being like a passive aggressive blow up between Harden, Paul, and Carmelo, that's good theater.
Yeah, what if the banana is not ripe?
I mean, Harden, I don't know what the deal is with Harden. I actually think Harden is probably just a guy who's like very good at basketball. I don't honestly think he cares that much about winning. Like, I feel like he just loves I feel like he loves his life.
That's a hot take.
I feel like he's great at basketball.
Okay.
But, like, is he going to, like, hammer down and not go to a strip club and get to the gym at 6? He's not going to be like Kobe and develop the 1% of his game left that he probably should develop. Or I should say 50% of his game, which is defense. I don't get that from him.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I think he's a harder worker than you're giving him credit for. Especially because he's, you know, figured out how to work the system in such a way where he makes things happen.
I think that's true, but there's also like an entire like huge gap in his play that he clearly doesn't care that much about working on.
Yeah, definitely.
And what I'm curious about is the tension between that and Chris Paul over the years.
Yeah.
You know, similarly, like last year, they were saying like Kevin Durant kind of like didn't really talk too much to the guys and didn't really show his anger that much. And that this year he did.
Yeah.
Next year, the honeymoon's over. Chris Paul is like, I'm here now. I have signed for a max.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to start yelling at people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Especially with Big E, is like adding Carmelo to that mix is fun from a drama point of view.
Yeah.
They need to sign Capella.
Yeah, they do. I mean,
I don't understand why another team doesn't just make him an offer to just fuck him up.
The only team that can is Sacramento, and they only have $15 million in cap space. That's the only team with any cap space left.
Wow. And
and they have 500 centers.
What did they offer him? Something like 12 or something?
Something dumb like that.
Yeah. Knowing that he, well, okay, here's a question. Is he a top five center that can play on any team, or is he a top five center because he's playing with the Rockets?
It's somewhere in between.
Yeah. So then the question is, can he play for the qualifying? And, you know, how many other teams are like, we got to get this guy?
Yeah.
It's tough.
It is tough.
Wow. It's tough. He may only play for a couple $1 million a year.
Yeah, that's so, oh man, I don't know. I don't know what I'd do if I was him. That's a hard situation to be in.
I think it's clear that neither of us would want to trade positions with him.
Yeah, I mean, just so hard to be on a really good team and make millions of dollars.
Yeah. Well, condolences to Clint Capella. Your life has gone the wrong direction.
Speaking of people whose life has gone the wrong direction, oh, that's a terrible, terrible, terrible.
I wish
terrible.
That the next... Is there a player named Darebko?
Darebko. Let's talk about a player whose life has gotten significantly worse. Kevin Love.
I thought you were going to say Isaiah Thomas.
I am not going to say that I was, and then I switched.
Kevin Love... Wait, his life is getting worse because he...
Because he no longer has LeBron, and he's committed to the Cavs for a decent amount of time.
I think Kevin Love now is just like, you know what? This is probably my last big contract. I'm just going to enjoy myself.
All right.
As his dad would say, wouldn't it be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice
if I had a better contract?
Yeah.
And I didn't have to wait so long. Do you think he sort of begrudgingly signed this?
No, I do not think he begrudgingly signed this. I think he gladly signed it. I still think that his life is worse because he's not on a team that is gonna make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, you never know. Colin Sexton pulls it all together.
I mean, I do know. I'm shaking my head.
Was he at Summer League?
He was at Summer League.
And you didn't see, like, World Beater in him?
I did not see World Beater in him. But, like, you know, that I only got to see him for, you know, 20 minutes.
Right.
The funniest thing that Colin Sexton did at Summer League was flex his muscles in front of Josh Hart before giving up a three-pointer. This is very funny.
You know what? It's going to fit right in at Cleveland.
Exactly.
Just stay at one end, give up a three-pointer at the other,
yeah.
Take on the LeBron legacy.
So we've spent a lot of time up at the top on the top two, Kawhi, DeMar, Carmelo. You want to do some rapid fire through the rest of these? Lakers signed Michael Beasley.
Yeah, why not?
What's your hot opinion on that?
I don't care.
I do care, and I love it.
I mean, I think it'll be fun to see. We'll go see some games.
Beasley, I already have a Michael Beasley jersey.
By the way, it's going to be much harder for us to casually go to Lakers games this year.
Oh, so much harder.
Yeah, much more. And by harder, I mean four times as expensive.
Yeah, nigh impossible. I have a Beasley jersey already. I'm so happy that two of the Lakers that came in, I already had jerseys for.
Oh.
Beasley and McGee.
Oh, great.
I have a Timberwolves Beasley jersey and a McGee Wizards jersey. And I bought two LeBron jerseys in New York.
The new ones or no, the old ones?
Old ones.
Right.
I bought one that says The Land on it.
Uh-huh.
And I can hold or tape over the T
I
and
like
the
ND,
and it just says LA.
Right.
So, it's the most bootleg Lakers jersey anyone in the world has right now.
Right. And you could just cover up the T and the D for the next LAN party that you run.
Yes, I can. Yeah, I'm so excited. He-LAN. So
I like, I mean, I first of all, was Beasley with the Knicks when he had that little, that one
last
crazy
year.
Game?
He had a crazy game last year where he went hot and he scored 34 points.
Yeah.
Or
it's fine. I think that I, like I said before, I think this year is just for funsies.
Yeah. And he gets to use 11% of his brain this year with the Lakers. I'm excited for him to unlock that extra 1%.
That's right. This ideal Lakers year to me is Ingram, Ball, Hart, Kuzma get a lot of playing time with LeBron.
Yeah.
They fill in gaps with Rondo, Beasley, Lance, McGee. That is a crazy team that, like, I do want to see this at some point. Rondo, McGee, Lance, Beasley, LeBron on the court together.
Yeah.
That is a crazy team.
That's wild, right?
But I bet it'll be fun to watch.
That's like, that's full on, like, a record Drew League team.
And I want to see Meta World Peace come out of retirement to play on that team.
Yeah.
Can they sign him to like a 10-day?
They certainly can.
Okay, so but the ideal thing is the young guys get run, we make the playoffs, and we win like one or two rounds.
Yeah.
LeBron gets to rest more in the summer, then they sign Kawhi and make a real run the following year.
Yeah.
And then at that point, to be honest, they probably won't still have Brandon, Ball, Hart, Kuzma. They'll have sorted out the two of those four guys that they really want to keep. And it's probably going to be, in my opinion, Ball and Ingram.
Okay.
Like I said, yeah. Which you hate.
I mean,
they got time to sell high on Kuz.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the ideal version.
Okay.
There is also the nightmare version, which is like Ingram gets benched. Like LeBron wants to win. The whole year is not a worthwhile year for any of the rookies.
Yeah.
So I hope that doesn't happen, but
I hope so too. I don't think that'll happen because I think the kids are too good.
I mean, I think that too, but like, it'll be interesting to see how LeBron, what his attitude towards the rest of the team is this year.
Yeah.
Because there's not a long history of him like shepherding young players.
No, there
is. In fact, well, there is a history of him shepherding young players
out of town.
Out of town. all right. Who's next?
Isaiah Thomas signed for the minimum in Denver. A bummer, but I think he'll be really good in Denver. I think if he's healthy, yeah, he'll be somebody who can like instantly score off the
bench. I read an article that said, first of all, that he knows Mike Malone already.
Yeah.
But also that he has already committed to being the bench like leader.
Great.
So in other words, he's doing what Carmelo has not done.
Yeah.
Which is he's saying, I will be Vinnie Johnson. And just come in, score a bunch of points, which is great because, like, you'll be going against second team defenses or, you know, sub defenses.
Yeah.
You will be going up against second units that are not necessarily coordinated enough to really exploit you defensively.
Yeah.
And you'll be, like, providing a spark. Like, even in situations where he's not like super efficient, although he was efficient in his like MVP candidacy year.
Yeah.
Even in situations where he's not like firing on all cylinders, I feel his style is I'm coming in to bring energy. I'm coming to get the crowd excited about some things.
Yeah.
And also just give the guy some rest.
Yeah.
So there's a real chance there, and it's a good chance for him to show that he's not a cancer.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so we'll see. On the other hand, I hate the Nuggets. I hate Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
So
maybe it'll all go up in flames.
Do I want to see him become a cancer and make Jamal Murray even more of a cancer than he is? Yes, I do.
Okay.
But I like Jokic.
Good. Up next, we got Nemanja Bjelica, no longer with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
So tell me this story.
Yeah. So he agreed to sign in Philadelphia for a 1-year minimum deal.
Hmm.
And then he was like, no, actually, I don't want to do that. I'm going to go to Europe. And so then he didn't go to Europe and instead signed a 3-year, $20 million deal with the Sacramento Kings.
Wow. Is this Vlade's doing?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have
Vivek?
No idea. I don't think he makes any sense on that team because they have so many power forwards and centers.
Well, they're going with positionless basketball, but tall.
I think they're just going with basketball-less basketball.
They're going with...
They also have like 30 people on their roster right now. They got to cut it down.
So they're going with people that Vlade Divac can share suits with.
Yeah, definitely. Suits and cigarettes.
I don't know enough about that player.
He's a tall, good three-point shooter. I would probably say he's like if Rashard Lewis was bad.
Yes, I understand what you mean, but also that sentence was very funny. Because Rashard Lewis was good, but then he was also very bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, imagine when Rashard Lewis was good. Imagine if he was bad. So,
imagine Rashard Lewis when he was good, if he was the Rashard Lewis of 5 years later.
Yeah, got it. Yeah.
So, is he a chucker?
No, he's not a chucker. Okay. He'll shoot when he's open, and okay. he'll make those shots. Like, he's just, like, not that good.
I don't know that the Kings know what they're doing, like, in any capacity.
Yeah, nobody does.
Traded back for Ben McLemore.
I mean, they just wanted to free up some space for... I don't know. I have no idea.
Last night I watched a YouTube clip of Ben McLemore gets stripped twice in a row by Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
I have. Yeah.
It's very sad.
Very sad. Yeah, the Kings make no sense. I want to get a Kings also, fan on the cast to talk about their existential dread.
Well, also, I hate the Kings as yeah. well. So no sympathy for them. And their cowbells.
Yeah, that's fair.
What's next?
We got Kenneth Faried and Darrell Arthur went to Brooklyn.
Darrell Arthur is a name of a player that I feel like is I've never known who that is yep. because there's also Darrell Wright.
Yes, Dorrell Wright. Dorrell Wright. Darrell.
There's a lot of players with variations of this name.
Yeah. Darrell Arthur then was traded from Brooklyn to Phoenix for Jared Dudley. So it's basically Kenneth Faried to Brooklyn. Darrell Arthur to Phoenix, Jared Dudley to Brooklyn.
Jared Dudley is the like 40-year-old player who's on social media that I got in a fight with on Twitter.
Yes, he is. That is exactly who that was.
He's still in the league.
He is still in the league, he's expecting to contribute this year.
I got in a... First of all, he's very active on social media, and we'll respond to you if you tweet at it.
Yes, very much so.
But we'll respond to you even if you just mention his name, not if you don't
add
him.
Yeah, he searched for it.
And I added... I mean, I mentioned him because the ESPN... D defensive real plus minus showed him as being a better defender than Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
And I was using it as an example of maybe this metric is flawed.
Yeah.
And he then responded like, well, actually, it's actually a good stat because blah, blah, blah. He basically defended the case that like, it makes sense that it would show that I'm a better defender than Kawhi.
Which is hilarious.
Which is hilarious.
Cause here's the thing. He is a good defender. He's a good team defender too.
Yeah.
But he's not better than Kawhi Leonard. Maybe he was better than Kawhi Leonard last year when Kawhi played 9 games.
This was from the previous season.
Oh, okay. Well, no, he's not. He's not better than Kawhi. But that being said, he is still a good defender, and he can play. He can play. He's got old man game.
Right? That's what makes me think he's 40. Is I feel like he's always had old man game.
Yeah, he has always had old man game, but he's like 35.
So wait, Freed ended up where did he finally end up?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn is another team. I don't know what their identity is. I wish they had not gotten rid of Jeremy Lin.
Yeah. But they have, D'Angelo Russell and Spencer Dinwiddie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't need him.
I know. I guess I'm curious about what Jeremy Lin's real potential and role in this league is.
Yeah.
But and I don't know that he's going to find out in Atlanta either.
His role is to be a really, really good backup point guard.
Yeah. I think there is another world where if he looked different than he does, he would have had more shots at being a starter.
I think so, too, because his stats per 36 are starter point guard stats.
Yeah.
Average starter point guard stats. Yeah. Somebody posted that on Twitter yesterday. Like, these are his stats after Linsanity per 36. Mm-hmm. And they're just good. It's like he averages like 15 and 6 and 4.
Right.
Basically per 36, which is... very average starter material.
Right. What's next on our list?
All right. What's next? We got some of the processes getting shipped out of Philly.
Ooh.
Rishon Holmes got traded to Phoenix for cash considerations.
Oh, cash considerations.
Yes. He was one of their big guys who was young, and they were like, we're moving on. We can't carry all these ridiculous young players anymore.
So how many like shoes are there left to drop in the free agency besides Capella?
Capella is it.
That's it.
That's okay. We got Marcus Smart re-signed in Boston for a little bit more than he thought he was going to, but
only
a little bit less than what he wanted.
Like $2 million more.
Yeah.
I believe he signed for $52 million.
Something like that.
Over, is it 4 years?
Yeah.
And he was offered $4 million, $50 million last summer and turned it down.
Which is to say, like, that's a win for him. He won those $2 million.
Yeah, but he lost the 20 in his head that he thought he should get.
He certainly did.
And then he sort of, I guess, in the end, he lost the game of chicken with Danny Ainge.
Yeah.
Of like, he wasn't quite willing to go, like, I'll play for qualifying offer.
Yeah, definitely.
So I guess that's good, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Like, Marcus Smart also is there's probably similar questions about Capella and, like, what is his value in a system that's not the Celtics system?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because what is the need of another team to have a sort of defensive genius and kind of an offensive genius who cannot shoot the ball?
Yeah.
As I said, I wanted him to be on the same team as Draymond. I thought that would have been fascinating. To just see them both be barking at everybody on defense.
Yeah, but instead they had to get, DeMarcus Cousins, who we love.
Yeah. So anyway, Marcus Smart, good luck to you. You're a Celtic now forever.
Yeah.
I can see that, like, I can see him not playing all 4 years there.
Yeah.
Because Ainge feels, you know, similar to Masai, will pull the trigger on anybody.
Yeah. We had a sleeper agent in Los Angeles last year.
Who's that?
Channing Frye. He got traded to the Lakers and then re-signed with the team that he got traded from in the offseason, the Cavaliers. So I don't know what info he's going to bring back to Cleveland, but I'm worried about it.
Reunited with Kevin Love.
That's right. Best friends
forever. Where is Richard Jefferson playing?
Richard Jefferson was playing in Denver. I don't know if he's still there.
If he goes back to Cleveland, they restart road tripping. Reunite
the podcast. You know, just sadder, you know, with like a little bit of like a...
I'll be honest, that podcast was kind of sad to begin with. Yeah. Richard Jefferson has a certain amount of insight that's interesting and a certain amount that is not.
Yeah.
So I guess that could be said of any podcast host, couldn't it?
I mean,
what else we got on this list? It seems like it's getting worse as we get down this list.
It is absolutely getting worse. We got Ben McLemore was traded for Garrett Temple, which is I follow a lot of people on Kings Twitter, and they are not happy with the Kings about that move.
Ben McLemore is to professional basketball what McLemore is to professional basketball.
Wow. That is amazing and good and correct. Yeah, we don't really need to say much about that other than I don't think that anybody in Sacramento was happy about that. Memphis is like sneakily going to push for the 10th spot in the West. You know, I don't know.
The further we go down this list, the sadder it gets. Because McLemore is kind of like, we drafted you. It didn't work out.
And this was just a contract thing.
Hey, like, you're back.
They're not going to play him. Like,
yeah.
Bojan. Yes, Bojan Bogdanovic is way better than McLemore.
What's the one on the Pacers?
Bogdan. Yeah.
Wait, in the break between the episodes, we talked about Tyreke Evans going to the Pacers.
Yes, that's
right. I just want to point out, I think the Pacers are going to be up there.
Yeah,
in the East this year.
Pacers could be the fourth seed again.
Because if we're thinking the four seeds are Raptors, Celtics, Sixers, Pacers, yeah, I could see that.
And then
they were great last year. I think Tyreke Evans is a great add.
Yeah, and Aaron Holiday seemed like he was good at.
Oh right, too. That's right.
So they got to they got some players.
If they could do like a body switch thing and just get Drew.
Yes, that's the idea. It was so swaggy that he walked down the draft with his brothers instead of his family. It was great.
What's next on our list of sadness?
Shabazz Napier going to the Nets. Yeah, that's a list of sadness.
These are like such low impact moves at this point.
All right, we got a hot. I mean, do you want to say anything about that other than like?
Because sometimes it's like a player I don't have a strong opinion about going to a team I don't have a strong opinion about.
Yeah. All right. Then we got the prodigal son returning home. We got Jabari Parker coming home to Chicago.
Mm.
That was a move that a lot of people were like, what?
Mm. And I am as well.
Yeah. Because like, here's the thing.
How much did they sign him for, by the way?
Like $20 million for 2 years. $20 million a year for 2 years.
$20 million a year?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
That's not that crazy.
It seems crazy to me.
If he's the best at he could be.
Oh, wait. Are you saying that Jabari Parker, if he's the best player in basketball next year, then yes. You know what? I think that is a good deal.
Okay, smart butt. No, if he like plays up to his potential,
right,
he could be worth that $20 million. And if he doesn't, they can get rid of him. It's a team option on the second year.
On the second year.
So it's not like, you know, it's 2 years, $40 million.
Wow. I'm just, yeah, I'm just amazed.
The first year's guaranteed and the second year's not. And then if he messes with his ACL, they can get rid of him.
Okay.
It's a small deal. Smaller deals are, like, time-wise are better than longer deals.
Last year, Jabari Parker scored 12.6 points a game and got 5 rebounds a game.
He was only healthy for half the year and he played very, very small. He played
30 games. That's true. Still, $20 million a year, good for him. I'm just thinking, like, when Capella can't get a contract.
Yeah.
I feel sad.
Yeah. And the last one is Jeremy Lin traded to Atlanta.
Boo.
Go into the cap space in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And they took a draft pick with that.
I just, if he was changing teams, I want to change the teams to like a jersey I'd want to get. That's all. I don't feel like getting a Hawks jersey.
Those new Hawks jerseys are so fucking ugly.
Are the weird fluorescent the weird yellow?
Black ones, right?
Oh.
The retro ones are nice.
Right.
Like the black and yellow, like all of those, but like, there's like an Atlanta Hawks jersey that looks nice with like the curved line. You know that one?
I think so. Yeah.
That Hawks retro jersey is cool.
Yeah.
But the other ones are rough. Yeah. Like this one, this is a cool ass Atlanta Hawks.
Right.
Jersey.
It's a green and blue retro looking. That's a cool one.
Yeah. Or like a one,
you know what?
Like
I could wear a Lin one. That was that one. If they make one for him. That
what
one.
About the red, like the old red ones? No,
I know. I mean, it's fun. It looks like Spud Webb.
Yeah.
But
what about that one?
No.
Yeah. The Hawks have had weird style.
That
for,
one
forever.
Looks like this is the black at the top. Red ombre with a Hawk holding a basketball. That looks like a MySpace page.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no. So many ugly Hawks jerseys.
So, Casey.
Yeah.
This summer's free agency, did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it because I got to get the best player in basketball on my team.
You got to get LeBron on your team.
Yes.
Which, by the way, is like hilarious to me that like you cannot give the Lakers any grade for their offseason except A.
Yeah.
Like, they got LeBron. And also, you cannot, if you're a Lakers detractor, you cannot go back and like retroactively say like, well, he was always going to go there anyway, because 24 hours before that decision happened, everybody was talking about how the Lakers had blown it.
Yeah.
How like the Sixers were getting a meeting. It was very much,
yep.
And whether it's all media narrative or whatever, the media narrative had definitely gone away from like it being in a Paul George re-signing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Lakers mystique is gone. There's no, people don't want to go there anymore. So they get an A for the offseason. Doesn't matter how many Beasleys they sign.
Yeah. Yeah, and we proved that people want to go there. We got Rondo and Stevenson and McGee and Beasley.
Yeah.
People want to go to L.A.
Yeah. People want to go to L.A. and get their one-year deal.
Oh, boy.
But also...
Oh, yeah, and we got KCP, so it's a big win this offseason.
Oh, boy. However, the offseason, I think, was very fun.
Yes.
And from a drama perspective, we got Kawhi to a new home.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't mind it when the Spurs take a hit. I don't mind it when the Pop mystique takes a hit. I like Pop, but like the entire... It's funny because when I was growing up, the Spurs were considered very boring.
Yeah.
And then I don't know, the mystique switched somehow to where it was like, they're just a great organization and they're always there.
I mean, maybe it was the, I don't know, 18 or 20 years that they won 50 games in a row.
Well, yeah, but even in there, when they were, it was before they really started breaking through on the championships. But even after they had won one championship, it was still a thing of like, they're kind of just a boring regular season team.
Was that first championship before Pop?
Oh, you mean, was it, it might've been the previous coach.
I can't remember. Because the first championship they won was 99, right?
It was strike year.
Was it 97?
I think the first one that Tim Duncan won was a lockout year.
Okay.
Because I believe they only played like 45 games or something. But I would say
99 was the first year.
So even through the early 2000s, when it was Lakers were sort of dominating, there was still always I never believed that the Spurs were going to do anything in the playoffs because they would always win 50 games. And so they're sort of back to that now. But anyway, at some point, the mystique switched to like, you know, Pop is a genius. And I do respect and I actually genuinely like Pop in a lot of ways. But yeah. like, I also, 2 years ago, I thought the shit he said about Zaza in the interviews when Kawhi got injured, I thought everything Pop said was bullshit.
Yeah.
And kind of beneath him.
Yeah.
And especially for someone who coached Bruce Bowen as long as he did.
Yeah.
So in the long run, for them to lose one of the best players and have a little bit of disarray and also sort of join the rest of the league in terms of like modern NBA drama, which almost every other team has.
Yeah.
And now they have a big helping of it. Happy about that. Good fun in the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lots of fun name players that we know moving around.
Yeah. And the nice thing is that the league will look different, but feel just as cool as it did last year.
I mean, it's going to look so weird seeing LeBron in a Lakers jersey.
But, you know, the jerseys are getting redesigned. So
it's going to feel weird seeing Kawhi in a Raptors jersey.
Yeah. Oh, man. And that black and gold. Yeah. So weird. I just can't wait for Drake to start dropping Kawhi references in the songs.
I mean, I would not underestimate Drake's
ability.
Why
you got to be so mean to me, girl?
Is that one of his lyrics?
That is my fake Drake lyric for the podcast.
Oh. I have a question about Drake, which is like, why did he latch onto this one melody that he puts onto all his songs, which is... That's close. No, the one that's like... I'm sorry. Like, I love you, my mom, and I'm sorry. It's a little figure that he puts into all the songs.
Yeah.
Stop it, Drake. But anyway, I would not underestimate his ability to keep Kawhi in the city just by being like super friendly.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. We literally know nothing about Kawhi.
Yeah, we don't know. There's no, all the speculation is worthless.
I think that'll do it. I'm leaving for Scotland Thursday.
Woo-wee. So we're going to have some more.
We're going to do some long distance.
Long distance casts.
I feel like the summer free agency, considering that Capella's the last shoe to drop.
Yeah.
I feel like it's ended a little early.
Yeah.
Because I mean, now we got, and summer league's over.
So now it's just vacation until.
Now we got August.
Yeah.
To talk about, I don't know what.
And you know what starts late August.
Right? You can see on Reddit, NBA, people are just bored and don't know what to talk about. Because if you look on Reddit right now, there's just a bunch of like old highlights being posted.
Yeah. They had this really fun thread about what Kawhi could do to make sure that the trade didn't go through.
Like
he could like enter illegally into Canada and get kicked out.
But like that's the kind of like. Oh, what do we talk about?
Yeah. And we have all of September, too, because preseason starts September 30th.
Jesus.
So hope you guys are ready for Rule of Threes, the baseball podcast, where you get three strikes and you're out.
You know what? This is a good time for us to we'll find some of our friends who root for the teams. We got Spurs fans.
Yeah.
Did you say we have a Kings fan?
I want to get some Kings fans. I don't know if I have a specific Kings fan, but if you are a Kings fan, you want to talk about the Kings?
We got Clippers fans, I know.
Yeah.
We got some other NBA fans. I know we got Cleveland fans.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a good time to do some more like debrief about like what people think should happen with our team.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what? We should do a Lakers one.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll get
a Lakers fan to come.
Mo Wagner is on the team.
Yes, he is.
Svi is
on the team.
He is.
Yeah.
He's
on the team.
Second round, you're in the team?
You were not necessarily.
But he signed.
But he did sign.
Oh, great. There was one other pick, right?
Isaac Bunga. And he is not yet on the team.
Okay. Wait, is he the one they're stashing?
No, he did actually sign. Did actually sign him.
Are they stashing one player?
No.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe we'll do our own little Lakers preview.
Yeah, great.
Casey, it was great to see you again.
Yes, absolutely. Have fun in Scotland, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, I'll be in Scotland. Let's plug shows. If you're in Scotland, come see Voldemort and the Teenage Hogwarts musical parody.
That's right.
August 1 through 27 at 5 p.m. every day at the Fringe Festival.
That's awesome. I got a lot of shows coming up. Got a show tonight, Tuesday Night Thunder. Got Bitchcoin is playing at the 9:30 at the Clubhouse in Los Angeles. This weekend, Pitch Please is having their monthly show Full at the Actors Collective in Burbank Saturday.
That's spelled F-U-L-L.
F-U-L-L.
Uh-huh.
Saturday, 8 p.m. We got Bitchcoin's hosting our first ever show, Bitchcoin Bitch Fest, at the Clubhouse in Los Angeles.
Excellent.
Wednesday, August 1st, 8:15 to 9:30.
Weirdly specific
time.
Uh-huh.
And Logan Everett's still going strong. We got our yearbook show every first and third Thursday at the Moving Arts Theater in Silver Lake at 8 p.m.
Check all these things out. Yeah. You have to see all of Casey's shows.
Every single one of my shows.
And all of my shows in Scotland.
Yes, at the same time.
Yeah. So, all right. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.